You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
Turn in your Bible with me to Mark chapter 2. This is a story that's in the Bible three times in three of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke share this story, so it must have been a very important story for the life of the early church. Anytime you have stories that are repeated, there's something that each of these evangelists, each of these gospel writers was given their own angle to it because it's such an important story. And we're going to read the first 12 verses of Mark chapter 2. Listen now to the word of the Lord. Jesus went back to Capernaum, and a few days later people heard that he was at home. Then so many of them came to the house that there wasn't even standing room left in front of the door. Jesus was still teaching when four people came up, carrying a paralytic or a crippled man on a mat. But because of the crowd, they could not get him to Jesus. So they made a hole in the roof above him and let the man down in front of everyone. When Jesus saw how much faith they had, he said to the paralytic man, to the paralyzed man, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Some of the teachers of the law of Moses were sitting there. They started wondering, "Why would he say such a thing? He must think he's God. Only God can forgive sins." Right away, Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said, "Why are you thinking such things? Is it easier for me to tell this paralyzed man that his sins are forgiven, or to tell him to get up and pick up his mat and go on home? I will show you that the Son of Man has the right to forgive sins here on earth." So Jesus said to the man, "Get up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man got right up. He picked up his mat, and he walked out while everyone watched in amazement. They praised God and said, "We have never seen anything like this." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of this word. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see all of you here this morning. And I was remembering as I was preparing this sermon, 7 weeks ago I wasn't in church, but you were praying for me. Those of you that were here 7 weeks ago on Sunday morning had special prayer for me and for Kim, and especially for Kim's sister Carolyn, who was in intensive care. That Friday she had gone. The emergency people, the ambulance had to come and get her after all-night asthma attack, had created a heart attack. And in the ambulance, they had to put her on life support. And they got her to the hospital, and she had a second heart attack, and she was completely in a coma, lifeless, and on life support. And so we were there, the whole family, sitting vigil by her bedside. The doctors had told us, no hope. They had told us, essentially, to say your goodbyes. And the nurses, they were such wonderful people, the doctors and nurses, really good, but they were giving us the hard news that because of these two heart attacks, and they didn't know how long, but a long time that she had been without oxygen to the brain, that she was lifeless. There was no sign of neural activity, no sign of any response in her legs, and she didn't look like herself. So in her husband basically had said he thought she had already gone, even though she was on life support. She wasn't there. And so we sat as she was paralyzed completely in that coma. We sat and attempted to say our goodbyes while you prayed for us. And at some point on that weekend, I don't know if it was that Sunday morning, I don't have my time, because we were kind of 24/7 that weekend with her. But sometime there was a nurse who noticed something a little bit different in the EKG and said, "I don't think this is a normal heart attack," because they were treating her as if she'd had two, quote, normal heart attacks. And they were giving her all the medicine, all the treatment, all the tubes and everything. The nurse said, I don't think this is right. I think this is something else. And she called for a doctor, Dr. Siddhartha Bahashami, who had done some research on this very rare condition called Takotsubo, which mimics a heart attack, but it's not. And he came in and he goes, "Yeah, let's do a test." And they ran a cath and they did the diagnostics. And they said, "Yes, this is like the 1% of people who look like they've had heart attacks. It's not, because a heart attack, you would have all this coronary, you know, arteries blocked and all this kind of problem. With this, everything looks normal except it mimics a heart attack. So Takotsubo, it was only discovered, only first diagnosed in Japan maybe 10 or 15 years ago when they started noticing people who lived close to the epicenter of an earthquake a day or two later would just drop dead. And the autopsies would show no sign of any heart disease, but they were, had just shut down. They had just completely become paralyzed and died. And then one thing after another, they started diagnosing other people. So they found that it's caused by three different things. One is some kind of really intense critical stress, like Carolyn's all-night asthma attack. That stress caused Takotsubo, caused her heart to just seize up and quit functioning, and the whole system, whole body shut down. The second thing they found is that people who live, who are close to the epicenter of some earth-shattering cataclysm, somehow that they get caught up in that, and that just caused the paralysis and the heart to seize up. The third thing that's very interesting is they call it the broken heart syndrome. Have you ever heard of people who've lost a loved one and just maybe a day later they die of a broken heart? That's Takotsubo. And it happens a lot more than we think. And so Carolyn, once they found that out, they completely changed what they were doing for her and started treating her for this. And then I remember being at her bedside when they came for the umpteenth time and would grab hold of her feet and say, "Carolyn, if you can hear me, push, push with your feet." And I remember when the nurse said, "She pushed. There's something going on there." And then, you know, one thing after another, other kind of responses. The other thing they told us, though, they said, you know, because we don't know how long she was without oxygen, if she happened to have some kind of recovery, she wouldn't be the person that you know. She's not coming back. And so they were preparing us for the second thing, if she didn't die, that she would just be, you know, laying in bed, unresponsive for the rest of her life. But little by little, she proved them wrong. That somehow that she was able to hear a voice that said, this is not your time. This is a time of healing. And little by little, when they would grab her hand and say, "Squeeze if you can hear me," she would squeeze. Then she opened her eyes. Then she started talking. And I was also in the room when a doctor came. And this started happening about 10 days later when she started becoming responsive. Doctors who were there that first weekend, who had been part of that crisis team, started coming back to her room just to say, "We want to meet you. We've never seen anything like this. You are the sickest person by far in the hospital, and we have never seen anybody as sick as your heart was, as sick as you were to survive. We are amazed. We want to meet you." And I remember one doctor came in and said, "You are looking the best I've seen you." And she said, "Well, we don't go back that far." You know, I thought, she is back. And sure enough, she is back now. She's back home, been back home 3 or 4 weeks, learning to walk again, walking on her own for 30 minutes now, and just gaining strength every day. So I'm so appreciative for all the people from that ambulance driver and that EMT team and the emergency room people and that nurse who kind of figured out it wasn't what they thought, and the doctors. And I'm thankful that they recognized that it was beyond their scope, that there was something else going on for healing of this paralyzed person, to bring her back to where she's now walking and playing with her child and all this stuff. So when I read the text today of this paralyzed man, and we know the story if we've grown up in church, we focus on, oh, they brought him through the roof. And that's a beautiful thing, that thing about the faith of his friends where they couldn't get to Jesus and brought him through the roof. But you know where my mind went was to that man's paralysis, laying there on the mat. What was it like for his family and for his friends? We don't know how long he'd been laying there on the mat, but we know he'd been diagnosed. This man is a paralytic. No, there's no help for him. And I just imagine what was going on in his family's mind as they sat with him by his mat day in and day out, taking care of his needs. And then I just imagine somebody like that nurse at Carolyn's bedside who just thought, maybe we've misdiagnosed this. Maybe there is somebody who can help, who knows about something beyond what we know about. And this person said, let's take him to Jesus. And so they went and they took him, and they couldn't get to him at first. So by any means necessary, by all means, they were going to get him to the person that they thought could diagnose him and do something for him. And they did. And Jesus, when he saw this paralyzed man, I think Jesus understood, just like with this strange disease called Takotsubo, that can mimic something like paralysis and a heart attack in a traditional way. Jesus knew something's going on with this guy that's different. I don't know what his trauma had been. I don't know what his sin had been that he couldn't let go of, that had so paralyzed his faith. We think by the scripture we can interpret that he was a person of faith because Jesus called him my son. So this person at least had the capacity to have been in relationship with God there. But something had paralyzed him. And I don't know, was it a traumatic life experience? Was it something that he so regretted? Was it some resentment? Was he suffering from some broken heart syndrome where he had a broken relationship that he just couldn't let go of? And it just completely took him to the mat. It took him to the mat, and he couldn't get up. He couldn't move. But when Jesus spoke to him and said, my son, your sins are forgiven. I just wonder if that was like, my son, okay, can you push now? Is there any life in those legs? Come on. I imagine Jesus saying, as the other doctors around were saying, what are you doing? This is not the right diagnosis. What do you mean? Only God can do that. This is not the place nor the time. You can't do this. That Jesus was saying, y'all back off and watch something here. This man has just been released from whatever trauma in his past, whatever sin, whatever shortcoming, whatever resentment, whatever broken relationship has taken him to the mat. He's just been liberated from that. So now let me show you what the results are. Son, take up your mat and walk. And what did he do? He took up his mat and he walked with faith. This time walking with a faith that had the ability to paralyze those voices that had been haunting him. A faith that can paralyze that past that won't let you go. A faith that can paralyze whatever is holding you down and throwing you to the mat. This man now walked with that kind of paralyzing faith that's telling the devil and anybody else, you're not going to hold me down anymore. I'm walking. I've got life back in these legs, and I'm going to take one step in front of the other, and I'm going to show you that it can be done so that Jesus could show that he had authority in heaven and earth to forgive sins, to release people from their bondage, to release them from whatever had thrown them to the mat, to release them from whatever had put their faith to sleep. He was able to awaken that so that the blood could be flowing again and the life could come back and people could start shaking their legs and walking again and bringing the life back. I wonder if you're here this morning like I've been so many times. So many times in my life I felt like my faith has been paralyzed by something. And it's sort of like Takotsubo. It can be a whole range of things that can throw us to the mat and paralyze our faith. You know, it could be broken relationships that we just can't let go of. That broken heart of having something damage a relationship that just haunts you. And haunts you and squeezes the life out of you until you just can't live with faith anymore. You just can't walk. So you're just down on the mat, still captive to that broken relationship, that brokenheartedness. Maybe it's living too close to the epicenter of some powerful earth-shattering event. Maybe you're too caught up in something going on in the world. I get that way sometimes. Too engaged, too close to the epicenter of something with too much power that I just can't have control over, and it does something to me, and it throws me to the mat, to where my faith is not walking anymore. Or maybe it is some past sin, some shortcoming, some resentment, some regret, something that just feels so awful that you just can't let go of it. You can't be free of it. And so it puts you to the mat, and the legs quit working, and that walk of faith is no longer active. I wonder if you've ever felt like that, where even if you're not on the mat, you just may feel like we're just limping along. We're not really leaping for joy. We're just barely limping. Sometimes we get like that as individuals, right? Anybody else besides me ever feel like your faith is a little lame, a little paralyzed, and you've been thrown to the mat? It's also true of the body of Christ, right? It's also true of a congregation. Do we ever feel like as a congregation that we're not really taking strides, we're kind of stuck in place. We've been thrown to the mat by something we're haunted by, some broken relationship, some resentment, some regret, some shortcoming, and somehow it's kept us from walking. And is this not what we're here for, to remind each other? We're here to carry each other back to the presence of Jesus, the one who can diagnose our heart as the great physician, who has the ability to read our hearts and read our minds and understand, no, you're not paralyzed for life. You're not meant to be laying on that mat forever. You're not meant to be limping along. You're meant to walk. I called you to walk. Take up your cross and follow me and stride with me into this world. We're here to carry each other into the presence of Jesus by any means, by all means necessary. Get to Jesus, where we can hear that voice saying, my son, my daughter, you're free from that. Whatever it is that has bound you up and thrown you to the mat, whatever heartbrokenness, whatever shortcoming, whatever close engagement you've had with the epicenter of some cataclysmic event that you can't get away from, I'm freeing you from that. I have taken care of the trauma. Whatever trauma has induced this paralysis, I've taken care of it. You are free now. Your sins are forgiven. They're taken care of. And it doesn't matter what other people say. There might be other people out there that says, that's wrong. You need to work that out. There's something in your past you need to work out. You need to do this. You need to do that. They've misdiagnosed it. They're wrong. Jesus has taken care of it. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. That's past. It's done. It's taken care of. So we're here as individuals, as a body, to say we're in the presence of Jesus. Jesus says we're free from that. And when we're free from that, we're free to get up and walk, carry that mat. And I think if we knew the rest of the story, Jesus might have said, get up, take your mat, go home and throw it away. You don't need that mat anymore. Okay? You can do without the mat. Or maybe Jesus knew that there would still be occasions where something in our lives would throw us to the mat and we'd have to carry each other again to say, here we are back in the presence of Jesus. I need to hear it again. That word of forgiveness, that word of freedom, that word of liberation, that word of mercy to say, okay, it's taken care of. Rise up. Walk. You can do it. And when we rise up, when we hear that voice, we have a faith now that can paralyze all those other voices and put them to sleep. We don't need to hear that anymore. That saying that you need to take care of something in your past. We don't need to hear that anymore. It's done. It's a paralyzing faith that paralyzes the voice of the devil so that we can walk in the presence of Jesus together. Walk together, children, and don't get weary. And keep on moving. Don't sit down and cross your legs for too long, because what's going to happen? It's going to fall asleep. And then when you hear somebody say, get up and go, you're going to stumble. So keep moving. Keep shaking. Keep the blood flowing in your faith. We have a faith that can paralyze all the negative voices. Amen? Amen? Does anybody else besides me need that kind of faith? Huh? You need it? Do we need it, Ecclesia? As a body? To feel like we're walking? We're not sitting? We're not stuck? We're not thrown to the mat? We are standing. So stand with me. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. And just feel the life flowing in your heart. Feel the life of Jesus Christ. Hear the voice of Jesus Christ in your ear saying, you are free. You're free to walk. You're free to move. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I'm so thankful that we serve a Savior with the power to heal the lame, to speak to the paralyzed and say, get up and walk, to speak to those who are haunted by some past trauma and crisis and say, you are forgiven. We're so grateful we serve you. And Lord, if there's anyone here in the presence of my voice this morning that has never answered that voice to begin with, has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray this would be their morning to stand up and walk and take their first steps of faith to accept you as Savior and Lord. Bless us now as we continue on with this service, as we sing, as we make decisions of faith. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.